Well, good morning to you again. If you open your Bibles to the book of Revelations, and Dr. Carter has been teaching here for a while, and he'll take up where he left off when he gets back, amen? I'm just looking at something that I was questioning about. I've had dozens of people to ask me about something here in the last year, and so I thought we'd look at it and just have a, I'm going to have a little fun with it, amen? I'm going to enjoy it this morning, so I hope you do. So if you open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 4, has anybody been watching the news?
No.
You're sick of it, aren't you?
Right.
It almost makes you feel anti-American to watch it, doesn't it?
Amen.
It is really, really bad, people. And I don't know if you've heard, but they're wanting to take your wealth and distribute it to somebody else. I believe that's called communism, isn't it?
Amen.
But that's what they're wanting to do. And now our president of today is talking about they wanting to shut down the nation for 6 weeks, the entire nation. Now, that will pretty much do us in. But they're going to pay you. God bless them, they're going to pay you while you're shut down. Now, think about that for a moment. They're going to pay you, each and every one of you, and probably pay you good. It might pay you $2,000-$3,000 a week. It doesn't matter. It really wouldn't matter if they give you $10,000 a week. Because after it's all said and done, it won't be worth anything. It's going to be worth about like, you know, the money from the Confederate Army. How much you reckon that money was worth after the war, right? That's where our money's going to be. So, folks, yeah, I do believe we're getting to the end time, amen? I believe we're in the end times, and I believe that the Lord is coming soon. You know, I don't know. Is it going to be today or tomorrow? It could be. You know, it's probably going to be. I'm thinking it's probably going to be a couple of years. And I'm praying it to be tomorrow, right? But I've had several people to ask me about this portion of Revelation chapter 4. Did I tell you? Okay. Brother McBride mentioned it the other night in his message. And then Pastor taught on it a while back, and then he mentioned it again Sunday. And so there's a lot going on there, and people's asked me, well, how do you know that this is the rapture? How do you know this is talking about that this is the rapture right here in Revelation 4 and chapter 1? So I'm going to try to show you a little bit about that. I hope that when we get through, I mean, I feel like as long as most of us have been here, the years we've been here, we really ought to know that. And I'm not picking on anybody because it's argumentative. You know, some people believe in pre-trib. Some people believe that we're going out in the middle of the tribulation period. And then some people believe we're going out at the end of the tribulation period. We believe we're going out before the tribulation period. Amen? So that's our stand on it. But it can be confusing to people, you know. The world don't want to perceive that way. And there's a lot of so-called churches today that are teaching mid-trip. And I don't know why they'd want to be here for that section of it. But that's the way they're planning. They're planning on being here halfway through tribulations. So, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be here during the tribulation period at all. I'm ready to gather up my things and get on out of here. And so let's just look at the first couple of verses there. Chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now, with that being said, go back to the very first part of that verse. It says, after this. After what? After what? After this. After what? What's he talking about? Now, see, this is what we're guilty of. And I know I'm guilty of it, and I'm sure just about everybody in here is guilty of this. When we read our Bibles, we try to put everything on our front porch. You know what I'm saying? Everything pertains to us. No matter where we're at or what we're doing, no matter what part of the Bible we're reading, it's ours. It belongs to us. So we try to fit everything right into our little world. Well, it's not always about us. Everything's not about us. Everything in the Bible's not about us. Okay? Now, I'm not saying this section isn't, because it is. But I'm just saying that when we read the Bible, we want to put everything in our front porch. But what we got to remember is, this is not just speaking to you or I. There's people all around the world that's reading the Bible this morning. So wherever they are, this is theirs too. You know, and the promises of the Bible belongs to them as well as it does us. So when we're reading things and when we're looking for signs and we're looking for things to see where we're at, we always look at our little part of the world. Well, we got to remember it's the whole world. God created all of it. So we got to look beyond just our front porch. And with that being said, after this, what was he talking about? He was talking about the letters that he had just written to the seven churches. After this, after the church age, that's what he's saying. John's on the island of Patmos. God has given him these letters to give to the seven churches. Seven, by the way, not eight, not nine, not six, but seven. That's God's number of completion. So after the seventh church, which is the Laodicean church, where do we live today? In the Laodicean church age. That's the part of history and the time that we live in today is the Laodicean church age. That's the last church age. So if you go back to the Philadelphian church age and you're looking for the coming of the Lord, you got things out of time, don't you? You see what I'm saying? We got to put everything into its perspective and according to what Scripture has it. And then we got to remember something else. After this. Now, how do I know that this is the rapture? Well, after the church age. What happens when the rapture takes place? What happens at the last church age when the trump sounds? The cross is withdrawn. You understand that, don't you? If you're here today and you're lost, let me tell you something. When the trumpet sounds and we meet the Lord in the air, the cross is withdrawn. We live in the dispensation of grace today. What is that? Grace. God's riches at Christ's expenses. He died on the cross of Calvary to pay for our sin, pay for the sin debt that we can't pay. So we're living in that grace age today. When the trumpet sounds and we're gathered to be with the Lord, that cross is withdrawn. We're no longer living in the grace age. That grace age ceases right there. We're moving into a new dispensation. And that's going to be tribulation. And with that being said, when we think about the tribulation period, folks, and I had somebody say this to me, what about the tribulation we're in today? Okay, I'm gonna explain that the best I can. Today's tribulation is man's tribulation. It's not God's wrath. It's man's tribulation. And then when we say that, we blame everything on the devil, don't we? That song he was just singing. Well, let me tell you something. God is all seeing. He's all knowing. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He sees everything and he knows everything. Satan does not. So when we try to give Satan his due, let me tell you something. Satan only has the power that God gives him. He only knows what God allows him to know. He's just like you and I. He doesn't know everything. And Satan can't be on my shoulder and your shoulder at the same time. So if you're out in California and you're saying, well, Satan is out here disturbing me today, and I'm in Florida, I'm saying, well, no, he's bugging me today. No, he can't be bugging both of us. Now, he does have his little demons, okay? There's more than one, amen? But it's not like God. So when we're looking at the tribulation of today, it's the sin curse. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, all the way back to the beginning. That's where Satan caused his troubles on us, on mankind. When he deceived Eve in the garden, and she sinned against God, and then Adam followed her. That's where the sin curse come into play. And that sin curse fell on each and every one of us. And man in his own nature is a sinful creature. I mean, are you born again? Raise your hand. Are you born again? Amen, you're born again. Have you had any problems this week? Have you had any bad thoughts this week? You know, did somebody cut you off and you want to run over them this week or push them in a ditch? You know what I'm saying? Have you been to Walmart this week? I hate going to Walmart. I had to go this week. And you walk, you know, did you put your mask on? Me neither. So I'm walking through Walmart, and they'll look at you. And you're like, hey, got something on me? Or, you know, you're wicked. You're evil. This is a training session. You understand that? They're training people for the tribulation period. You know, kids going to be turning in their parents. Have you read that in here? Yeah. That's all this is a training session, folks. Everybody's scared to death. I'm going to tell you something. If you're saved, born again, and going to heaven, what are you afraid of? You know, first of all, a virus can't take your life unless God allows it. You know, we all have an appointed time. And I believe with all my heart that day is not going to change because of a virus. Whatever day my appointed time is, if it's before the rapture, it's not going to change because of a virus. You know, all the doctors and all the money and all the hospitals in the world aren't going to save you here, aren't going to keep you here. When it's your time to go, you're going to go. I believe that with all my heart. Now, I believe God can extend your life for the right circumstances if you beg him. He can do that. He has that power. But I'm just saying, we need to put everything into perspective. We need to look at everything for what it is. And right here, when John on the island of Patmos, when it says, after this, I look and beheld a door was opened in heaven. And then look what it says in the next verse, verse number 2. It says, and immediately, go on, just like that, immediately. What's going to happen in the rapture? What's going to happen when the trumpet sounds? We're going to be out of here just like that. And we're going to meet our Lord Jesus in the sky. Amen. This is a representation of the rapture. This is a picture. Remember what he's doing. He's given revelations to John. So he's gone through the church age. After the church age, which is going to be the rapture, isn't it? Because now we're going to move into tribulation. So the cross is withdrawn and we're moving into the tribulation period. Folks, God says his wrath is not appointed to us. I think I wrote that verse down here, if I can find it. I had to handwrite my notes this morning because my printer quit printing. And I can't even read my own writing. And I had to do it in like 3 minutes, you know, because I had to have to go. It was time to go. All right, it says, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, God's wrath, tribulation period is God's wrath. That's God's wrath on mankind for rejecting the Lord Jesus. That's not man's wrath. That's God's wrath. And God's wrath is not for you and I. It's not for me. It's not for you. If you're a born-again believer, it's not for you. So we're going to be taken out. So this gives me all indication right here that when the trumpet sounds, I'm out of here. So I believe that's what he's talking about right here. This is talking about the rapture. Because if we read on, which we're not going to this morning, but if we read on, we start moving into the tribulation period. Now, how fast is that going to take place as far as his wrath starts falling on man's God? I don't know. You know, nobody knows when the rapture is going to happen. I do know it's going to be in the last church age. And I believe we're living there. But what day? I don't know. No man knows except God himself. And when he decides to reveal that, we'll know. Amen. And this is what bothers me. Do you believe this book that we're talking about this morning? Do you believe this Bible? Now, why do we all walk around like we're half, like we act like we're at a funeral? We come to church and everybody, it's like, do I have to be here? I mean, we're in God's house and we're God's people. And I don't care what's going on outside of those doors. We're in God's house this morning. And this is God's people this morning. So it doesn't matter what's going on out there. It's what matters is what's going on in here and what's going on in the heart right here. And we should be the happiest people on the planet. Now, I do understand, I do know that when you turn the news on and you see everything that's taking place, they're going to try to steal your wealth. What's that tell me at the same time? It tells me I'm right there. We're fixing to hear the trumpet sound. And forget about the things of the world. I mean, I know we need certain things to survive and to live. But God's going to continue to take care of us. He's not going to stop taking care of us. He's taking care of me this long. I'm not going to worry about it now. You know, people sometimes say, well, aren't you worried about this or worried about that? No, it doesn't do any good to worry about it because it doesn't change it. So why am I going to worry about something I have no control over? And I can't help the fact that I'm living in the Laodicean church age. But I do not have to be part of the Laodicean church. I refuse to be part. I refuse to live my life in a bubble the way they're trying to do right now. And you do understand that this shutdown that's going on right now, you know, it's not about you. They could care less whether or not you have COVID-19. Do you understand that, right? They do not care. And I don't care who's listening. They do not care whether or not you had COVID. Their concern is that you don't spread the gospel. That's what they want. That's what they're trying to stop. They want to stop the spread of the gospel. And they want to prepare people for the time that's coming. My daughter-in-law runs the Franklin Medical Center in North Carolina. She caught COVID. By the way, she wears a mask every day. And they wear gloves, and they wear gowns, and they change and scrub up and clean up between every patient. Okay? She caught COVID. All right? And then she took it home and gave it to her husband, my son. So he got COVID. And so they were extremely, extremely sick. They were out riding snowmobiles. Amen? Yeah. I called her up. I said, well, how are you doing? Michael says, well, she's out riding a snowmobile right now. She's doing fine. Kids are out playing. He said, I'm working on the house. He said, but we get 14 days off. Praise God. You know, folks, you can't believe everything you hear. Okay? It's about stopping the gospel. I mean, think, you know, I can tell you right now, there's people right now, right here in this city. Well, one of them's moved now in the last few weeks. That was not allowed to attend church. They could go anywhere else they wanted to go. They could go to a ball game if there was one going on. They could go anywhere. They can go to Walmart. You can't get COVID at Walmart. You can go to Walmart. He was allowed to go any place that he wished to go except church. He did come here twice and they kicked him out. That's sad, isn't it? But folks, that's what's going on right now. That's exactly what's going on. We're living in that time. And I want you to go with me to the book of Job. Job. I want to show you something. I said a little while ago that everything's not about us. You know, and we always want everything. We always want the focus to be on us. But everything is not always about us. So I want to read something to you. Look at Job chapter 1. And I guess we'll start in verse 6. I'll start and you can catch up. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answers the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Amen. Folks, that right there, think about that. If God can put a hedge of protection around Job, why can't he put one around you? You understand what I'm saying here? Now, when we first started reading, did you see what he said about Job? Job was perfect in his ways. That doesn't mean he was sinless, amen? But he was living a godly life. Amen. So that kind of ought to give us a little clue there. If we're living for the Lord, God will put a hedge of protection around us, amen? But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is on thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now, we're just, did God just give Satan the power to do something? See, without it, he couldn't touch Job. So see, when we want to blame everything on Satan, Satan's not all that. We give him way too much credit, people. God deserves all the credit, good and bad. Amen. It's all his. But what the point I wanted to make right here is that God is allowing something to fall on Job. And if you read the rest of this, Job has a hard time from this point. But what was the problem? What has Job done wrong? Nothing. And who is this all about right here? When we read the rest of this story, who's it about? We're reading the story about Job and all the things that fell upon Job. But what are we really seeing? What are we really watching when we read this story? We're watching a battle between God and Satan. That's the battle. It has nothing to do with Job. Job is a pawn. He is a servant of the Lord. What are you and I today? Servants of the Lord. So when things fall upon us, it's not always about us. And see, we want to run climbing a little hole someplace and whine and cry about everything. And it's not always about us. So we would learn to look at the bigger picture. And we would learn to remember who's in control of the things on this earth. God is. And why did God allow this to come into Job's life? You and I are still reading about it. You and I are still seeing that Satan's powers are limited by what God allows. And we're still seeing how great God is. And we're still seeing that it's not always about us. Everything's not me, 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 me. But folks, that's what we always try to do. Every time we read the Bible, we want to put everything on our porch. We need to put everything where it is and keep everything into perspective. And now we can go back to Revelations. And it's the same way when we're reading the book of Revelations. We need to remember that it's not always about us. Everything's not about us. And I don't want to go to Revelations right now. Forget that I said that. Go to Thessalonians. Go to Thessalonians chapter 4. Chapter 4. And I think we'll start in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and arose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Now, by the way, folks, I got to stop right here for a moment. Did it say anything about owning a house? Did it say anything about tithing? Did it say anything about joining the church? Did it say anything about being baptized? Did it say anything about being good or being bad, being pretty or ugly? None of that's in there, is it? What did it say? If they believed, is that what it said? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. That's salvation. Right there. Oh, it's so simple, isn't it? So simple. God, you know, man makes everything complicated. God made it simple. We live in the dispensation of grace. God's grace, his goodness to us. Everything that he did got nothing to do with us. See, man always wants to put himself right there and put it on his doorstep, and he wants to become part of everything. You know, the only part in salvation that we have is receiving it. That's it. We can receive the free gift. That's all we do. Anyhow, it goes on to 15. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. That's the rapture. That's what we call the rapture. I know the word rapture is not in the Bible, okay? That's what we call the rapture. And see, it's much easier for me to say rapture than it is to read all this to you. I can just say rapture and say the same thing once we understand what we're speaking of, right? But now I want you to go over to Revelations. Go to Revelations 19. And I want to show you this because of something else I was questioned about. Revelations 19 and verse 11. It says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." That's God's wrath, amen? And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Folks, did that sound anything like the portion that we read in Thessalonians? Now see, in Thessalonians, when we read about the rapture and us meeting him in the sky, we didn't read about his wrath, did he? We was reading about his love, weren't we? There's a big difference between the rapture and the second coming. Now, what I'm reading to you right now is the second coming. When he comes back, he's coming back as a warrior, amen? So I've had folks to say, well, you know, this is the second coming in Thessalonians, so how come we have this in over here in Revelations? Well, in Thessalonians, we call it the secret coming, amen? Because only those that are saved are going to see him. The world's not going to see him. They're not going to have that pleasure. But they're going to see him this time when he comes. When he comes back in wrath, they're going to see him. And it's going to be his wrath that's fallen upon the earth. Folks, if you're lost and you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus, or if you're not sure that you know the Lord Jesus, you don't want to be here when that time comes. You know, we know that the world has done and is doing everything it can to erase our history as a nation. It's doing everything it can to remove anything to do with God. It does not want God's grace to be shared with you. The world wants to do away with him. Folks, when the trumpet sounds and that cross is withdrawn, they're going to get their wish. God's going to pull his spirit out of here. Can you imagine what kind of a world this is going to be when God removes his people? It's going to be a horrible thing. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a part of the world. I want to be a part of God's army. I want to hear the sound of the trump. I want to hear the trumpet blow. And I want to go see my Jesus. And what disturbs me right now is the church. I can't understand. We're living in the greatest day. Think about it, folks. We're going to hear the trump of God. We're going to see the Lord Jesus. I believe with all my heart that the majority of us in this room right now are going to live to see the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know people said that all your life. You've always heard that. You've always heard that. But that's because they put everything in their porch. They were getting everything out of whack. We're now living in that day. We're living in the Laodicean church age. You can see the world turning that way. And I honestly believe that we're going to hear the trump of God. And with that being said, we should be excited. No matter how bad it gets in the world, This is not our world. This is not our home. We're supposed to be pilgrims passing through. But yet, we tie ourselves to it in every aspect of life. We're so busy trying to get a bigger house, a newer car, more money. I mean, we can take up a collection for something and used to. We can go back here in the Old Testament and we can read where Moses had to tell the people, please, please stop bringing it. Don't bring anything. We have no need for it. They're bringing in gold and silver and whatever. They're bringing in all the spoils of the earth. And Moses is saying, stop, stop, stop. We don't have room for it. We've got an abundance. And today we're saying, please, please, please. What's wrong? What's wrong? God hadn't changed. It's still the same God today on our throne. Same God. We changed presidents, but God's still in charge. Amen?
That's right.
Amen. We got the same God. And the churches are closing all across the country. Do they believe the book? If they believe the book and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe that God's in charge, why is the church closing begging for money? I don't know about you, but this pandemic hasn't hurt my finances one bit. I can honestly say that. I am actually better off today than I've ever been in my life. I can honestly stand here and tell you that. I have not suffered one bit. And I almost feel guilty about that because I know there's people out here who's suffering. So I'm like, you know, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But it's not a time that we stop giving. It's not, you know, this is something else. I wasn't going to say anything about this, but I can't help it because I got 2-3 extra minutes. But our pastor has just retired, and we have a new pastor. Brother Parsons is going to be our pastor. And you'll hear all kinds of things going on. Let me just say something. Are you serving God or are you serving man? Dr. Carter's a man, just like you and I. I love him to death. And I think God has blessed him beyond. I don't think there's a better pastor on the planet. We were blessed to have him. But now we have a new man. But let me ask you this. Whose church is it? It's still God's church. Nothing changed. It's still God's church. It's still God's house. And we're still God's people. So what are we supposed to do today? The same thing we done last Sunday. What are we supposed to do next Sunday? The same thing we done last Sunday. You keep serving God. You keep the smile on your face. You keep reading the scriptures. And you keep going out and telling people about Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do. And it bothers me when I see somebody that's normally here that's not here. Well, we got another pastor. Don't matter. I'm not here. I don't serve the pastor. Brother Parsons is the pastor. God bless him. I don't serve Brother Parsons. I'll tell you straight up. I don't serve him. I serve God. I didn't serve Dr. Carter. I serve God. He's our overseer. I did what he told me to do. You know, he never asked me to do anything wrong. Can you believe that? Not one time did he ever ask me to do anything wrong. So I never had to make a decision. I just served. And folks, that's what we need to keep on doing. See, the devil's got ways of getting a hold of your heart and pulling you in the wrong direction. Why? Because he wants to stop the spread of the gospel. And if only one person doesn't show up here, if he can get you out of church, how many lives are not going to be saved or changed because you didn't tell somebody about Jesus? See, folks, I don't see everybody on the planet. We don't see everybody. You'll see people that I'll never see. And that might be one soul that's going to go to hell because you stopped, because you quit. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to keep on serving, amen? And I hope I didn't muddy the waters too much more on the rapture. Okay? But with this right here in Revelations, it's talking about the rapture. Okay? All right, brother, you got the Sunday school count for us, or time is up? All right.